Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
Live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Good hour there with Justin Watkins and John Von Tobel. Both giving us leans, likes, not likes, on college football and the NFL. Alex White is here. Alexander White. This part of the show is brought to you by our friends down at Circa Sports, Circa Million, Circa Survivor. Deadline is coming up. $6 million guaranteed in Circa Million. That is five games against the spread every single week. I know 15 mil is guaranteed in Circa Survivor. There's going to be a run here the next couple days. This thing could push to 16, 17, 18 million. We had Mike Palm on 2 weeks ago. He said he thought it was trending towards 20. I don't know if it'll get there. I think most recent look at the board that I got on social media was at like 14.7, which has it basically to the 15 million. But these last couple of days is when people go out and sign up. So it could be pretty freaking crazy. But get out to a Circa Sportsbook, sign up for Circa Million or Circa Survivor. $1,000 to get in, but my Lord, Circa Survivor, you could be holding a lottery ticket if you can pick one winning team every week. Can't use them again. But you could be talking about winning upwards of $16, $17, $18 million. It's pretty freaking incredible. You are in Visa and Circa Invitational. So again, the rules on that one are?
The rules are we're picking seven against the spread or totals, NFL and college. So Saturday and Sunday games only, I believe. But 25 people start, and then about week eight, I think, they start cutting. The two at the bottom are getting cut every week from then on out.
Did you look back at your split last year? What was your college?
Oh.
Not record-wise, but what do you think your college pro game split was?
It was very heavy college.
What'd you want to pick? And yeah, we're looking at, 130 games or more, right, for the season? I'm giving a lot of numbers here, but I'd have to guess your split must have been at least 60-40 college, if not more.
It was more.
Yeah.
It was probably 80-20.
And then obviously percent. At the end of the season it gets tough because then you got to get off the college.
Well, when I finally jumped in on NFL at the end of the season, I did really well.
Oh!
Yeah.
So what does that do for you?
Yeah, I thought about that. Maybe sprinkling in a little bit more NFL that I feel confident with early on, but also, you can use four totals per week, but that's the max. So I should look into it where my split was with totals, too.
Are you a totals player? I feel like you're not.
I am.
Okay.
Yeah. Like once we have more data, right, and then you're looking and you have two teams that match up so nicely and both of them want to run the ball and that total just, you know, is 5 to 10 too high. So I like those scenarios or vice versa where it's Baylor, and we might get a shootout, and their defense isn't quite there yet.
NFL, will you consider Bills and Ravens?
For the contest, no.
Why not?
It's just too tight. I'm going to be on the Ravens. I like the revenge angle here. The Bills knocked them out of the playoffs. They've been waiting for this game. I think roster to roster, they are the better team. I don't love that they're on the road. It's in Buffalo, so I probably wouldn't risk it for that. But,
and we'll get you the whole field if we can before the end of the show. Alex is in the Circa Invitational. There's a guy named Kenny White. Do you know him?
Yes, he's in it. Yeah.
What's going on here?
Father versus daughter.
Have you done this before? Have you tracked your record for a full season?
Against each other?
Against Daddy-O?
No, I have not. So this will be the first.
How important? I mean, it's important to finish well in this. Because you can win money.
Yes.
Bragging rights against dad?
Bragging rights, definitely. Yes. Hopefully we're, I mean, it would be cool if we were both in top five.
That would be cool. That would be very cool. So Alex White's in the Circa Invitational. Greatest female handicapper in the entire world. And the reason I say that is I think you're very good, but you actually go in contest. You are tracked. Not the jabronis all over TikTok or everywhere else where it's like, oh, I'm picking 65 or 70%. Then go in contest and get tracked. Then we know, right? Miles Simmons, put your money where your mouth is. Alex does that. Let's go.
On what? What are we talking about?
So she's in the Circa Invitational, which is Big contest here, done publicly on air on Friday night. She's got to pick seven games against the spread, NFL or college, or the total. And last year, again, give me the size of the field. Originally, it starts
25.
At 25 people. She finished second last year. She lost to a guy named Chuck Edel and beat out good folks like The Bear, Chris Felica, also beat out maybe not so much a good folk, or, you know, he knows about college football. He can't bat. Brett McMurphy, who used to be with ESPN. I think he's with someone now. I don't know.
I know.
There you go. So when we're doing picks, tread lightly, my friend. She might rip your head off on the spot. She might rip your head off on the spot.
That's fine. I earn it. You know, I was talking to some people the other day, and they're like, oh, do you do fantasy? Do you do this? Like, I'm in, like, a picks league, and my friend convinced me to do a Survivor League this year, too, which I don't know that I've done either before or in a long time. And I always say that, like, I am embarrassingly bad at it, considering what I do for a living.
Right.
So that's part of why I don't like doing it, because I get stuff wrong. And, you know, I don't like doing that. So, yeah, I'm not going to begrudge anybody for being like, oh, are you sure about that? Because I really shouldn't be, given my track record of picking games.
So I'll give you a quandary. I have a friend of mine who spent, let's say, thousands of dollars to get into a fantasy football league.
That's a lot of money.
She asked me to help her with the draft. I kind of took over the late part of the draft. Uh-huh. There's also moves weekly. I wonder how much power I'm going to have with patience. Because when I drafted guys like Quinshon Judkins. I drafted a few dudes who I'm like, well, 3, 4, 5 weeks in, we might have something here. But I don't know how much muscle I'm going to have when I'm like, just be patient, stick it out. But it's her money.
Judkins is a very interesting investment there. Because I really have no idea when he could be on the field. He's not even under contract. So like, that is such a bizarre thing where, you know, if the Browns had picked the other Ohio State running back, you know, they might be in a better position to have their running game get going in the early part of the season. But now, I mean, who knows when Judkins might, you know, actually
and
be
the NFL's in a weird position because they could suspend him. They have to be very careful because if they can't find video on this, it sounds like the authorities down there, you know, they refuse to press charges, move forward with the case. Yeah. You don't want to have the NFL let him play, and then some like horrifying video comes out in week 8, and he's piled up 700 yards. So I don't know what they're going to do. But here's the other issue. Roger Goodell really should not be judge, jury, and executioner on these cases. There should be a timeline. Like, if you can't find evidence, let's move on and let the kid play.
Yeah, it's the statute of limitations thing, right? I mean, I really don't know what the right move is in terms of handling this. I will say, though, I'm glad that they put the Rashi Rice situation to bed, you know, because I don't think that anybody would want to be going into the season with this hanging over the league as a weird cloud, especially when Jordan Addison was already suspended for something of, I don't want to say similar, but you know what I'm saying, like it's both traffic incidents and things like that. So yeah, it's interesting when you now have a Judkins who, again, not under contract, but subject to the league disciplinary policy, as he should be, and they have to kind of figure out exactly what it is that they're going to do. Not going to play this week. I mean, that's pretty clear. So we'll see if this gets resolved in the next couple of weeks and what that might mean for the Browns going forward.
When is Bill Belichick coming back to the NFL? I don't want to overreact to the North Carolina TCU game, but lordy.
I mean, coming back to the NFL to be a broadcaster again? Because, I mean, that could happen as soon as next year, you know?
I don't know.
He decides this ain't for me, which, you know, based on Monday night, it might not be for him. Oh, my goodness. I got to tell you, though, it was like a very satisfying watch, just from the standpoint of, like, I don't know. I was one of those folks that thought that, like, the game had passed Bill Belichick by, and, like, everybody's like, oh, my God, well, who's going to hire Belichick? It's like, why would anyone do that? You got to think about it this way. Bill Belichick's last true postseason success was in 2018. Right, like if you're looking at different coaches around the league, Mike Tomlin is sort of still living off of something that happened before that in some ways. Right, like the Steelers have not had a losing season under Mike Tomlin, and I honestly do think that that's a significant thing. But Mike Tomlin and the Steelers have not won a playoff game since the Obama administration. All right, so like that tells you right there just how long it's been. So being that as it may, you look at Bill Belichick. had the playoff success in 2018 with the Super Bowl victory that nobody remembers, and then after that got rid of Tom Brady too early, and then, yeah, 1 year with Mac Jones where it's like, oh, this is kind of interesting, and then it falls off a freaking cliff after they got blown out in the playoff game, you know, to the Bills. So at that point, you know, and you're looking at it, and Bill Belichick picks Matt Patricia and Joe Judge to run his offense, and it's like, this guy is not making choices that are rational and that we would justify for anybody else in his position. He had earned the benefit of the doubt, yes, because he's Bill Belichick and he had 6 Super Bowl rings as a head coach. But when you do something that stupid, and it was stupid in retrospect, you lose the benefit of the doubt. And so that's why when he's trying to get to the Falcons and he wants to do everything his way and it's going to be da-da-da-da-da, a lot of them in that building are like, I don't know, should we really do that? And no, the answer is no, you should not do that. Not at this stage, not when he's at his age, right? Where he's just going to bring in his son to apparently run a defense. But I don't know if you can say that that's what they were doing out there on Monday night. And he still can't coach offense. And part of it is a talent gap because there's a lot that goes into recruiting, right? And we all know this. But when you look that bad in your college debut, I don't know, man. I don't know. There's something to the fact that NFL organizations didn't want to deal with that anymore, and I can't say I blame them.
Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, is with us. We'll get to another big college story here in just a couple of minutes, but let's get to some of the NFL themes on this Wednesday with Miles. One, the red zone. Looks like it's going to have commercials. Your reaction?
I just think it's disappointing because it's like, how much more money does the NFL need to make? You know, it's a premium product, you know, and, you know, I'm fortunate enough that I work in a situation where I get, you know, NFL ticket with red zone paid for me because I need it to do my job. But that is an over $300 expense just for Sunday ticket. Right? For Red Zone, it's an over $400 expense. Why do you need to make people watch commercials during that? I don't understand. It's a very premium product. It's like HBO with commercials. I don't want to pay. Why? And I think that HBO now has a commercial tier, which I think is ridiculous. But like, I just don't see why the NFL has to make money that way. I think you're screwing fans because you just think that you can add more and more money to your pockets. And at a certain point, why do you need to do that? There are so many different avenues that the NFL has to make money. I think that if you're going to charge fans that much, then there should never be a freaking commercial. I don't even think there might be that many commercials. But as you know, Hansen being a company man, and he's going on wherever he was today, so I don't think people are even going to, like, yes, they are. Because we're all used to a premium product, and we should mind. Because again, if you are paying that much money for Red Zone and Sunday Ticket, you should never have to watch a commercial. On Red Zone, that's the entire point of it. You should always be watching something live. And if there are commercials, then hey, we can show you some highlights. It's the way it's always been. And I know that they tested this out a little bit last year too, but I think it's just disappointing.
Well, I told you my thoughts on this last year, just the whole NFL, monetization, which is completely out of control with all these channels you got to pay for. For me, yeah. I mean, could I, you know, I mean, I guess it would be an expense of $500 plus for all the channels and the Sunday ticket.
100%.
I'd rather take the money and actually spend, frankly, I could spend this year 4 times what I would spend on all these TV packages at local bars and casinos. And at least help the Vegas economy. I mean, I'm not rich, but I'd rather give the money to them and some small business bars than keep doing this. But I know a lot of markets don't have what we have here in Vegas, which is we've got hundreds of places to watch games. And by the way, they're the ones footing the bill for Sunday Ticket and all these packages, and it costs them even more.
Right. Well, and you know, the interesting thing too, Steve, I mean, everybody expects to be able to go out to a bar and to watch the game. Right. And so now they had to solve that with the Amazon Prime issue. They're going to have to solve it with YouTube on Friday, you know, and they've got to continue to do this. And Netflix, you know, getting more and more involved in this. Peacock and those particular games, which everybody should have a Peacock subscription. You know, I don't understand why you don't. It's the exclusive streaming home of The Office. You can also watch PFT Live on there. But It's just, it's more and more and more and more expenses. And I think that it's not fan friendly, generally. I really don't. And I think that there are ways that the NFL could do a lot better with this.
Miles, we got to get to some injuries before week one here. Stafford says he's the same as always. Do you buy it?
I buy that he is going into year 17 and he's been carrying offenses on his back for, you know, over a decade and a half now, and that might slip a disc a little bit at a certain point. So he's not on the injury report, which effectively means he's going to play. I don't think there was, once he got back on the practice field, there was never much question that he was going to be able to play week one. It's sort of a matter of now, can they keep his body right throughout the course of a 17-game season? Plus, I mean, the Rams have made the playoffs so many times under Sean McVay. I think it's a fair expectation to think that they would be able to make it to the postseason, especially with Stafford. And so if they do, is he going to be able to hold up? You know, are they going to have to go and play another cold weather game, right? Like they had to in Philadelphia where it snows. That's going to bother your back. So it's something that I think we are going to have to monitor all season, but at least, you know, for the start of the year, he seems to be all right. One of the better things that, you know, came out of the Woodland Hills with the Rams today as well, as they practice in the Valley up here in Los Angeles, they are going to have their left tackle, Elerick Jackson, available for them at the start of the season. And there was some question about that because he's been dealing with blood clots. And it's the second time that's happened with him over the course of his career. So that's good news that his Matthew Stafford's blind side is going to be protected, especially against, you know, such a formidable defensive front like the Texans have.
By the way, recommendation if you're around the Woodland Hills facility, El Torito, a really
very
good Sunday
good.
Brunch. Yes, really
very,
good.
Very, very good. I used to live up there.
Hour.
I've been there. Yeah.
Good happy
yeah.
hour. Great bartenders. Seriously, I've been there many times. Okay, Pro Football Talk. Miles Simmons is with us. You wrote about Chase Young and the injury. This is not some massive news like, oh, my God, the Saints are going to fall apart now. But it is part of a problem with the Saints in that it doesn't look like they're going to have a great season. What do you expect from the Saints? Because this quarterback thing is probably going to be a mess throughout. And at some point, you do have to play Tyler Shugg to see what he's got.
You do. Except, like, what do we really think Tyler Shugg has? I mean, ugh, good Lord, man.
He's one of those. They spent a high pick on him.
I know, my Lord. I watched that guy play, even the highlights. You know, you look on YouTube, and, like, I'm not, like, the biggest draft guy. But once we get around there, I like to look at the quarterback highlights, at least see, you know, get an idea of what is going to be coming into the league. And, like, you look at his highlight plays, and even those are, like, ay, 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 like, in the National Football League, this ain't gonna work, man. Like last week when I was doing PFT Live, I called the Saints quarterback room, I believe, a steaming pile of dung. And like, that's just what it looks like to me. So Chase Young can have a calf injury, not have a calf injury. But if you have two quarterbacks, as Bill Parcells says, you don't have, and those guys don't have any quarterbacks. And Spencer Rattler, God love him, like, good luck. But I don't know how we can have any expectation other than like 2 to 3 wins for the New Orleans Saints. And if they do better than that, boy, I'm going to be looking at that and thinking, man, they really did something. Kellen Moore must be a great coach. Because like even if they get 5 wins, it's going to be really astonishing to me. That's just because the quarterback situation is just that bad.
The win total's about there.
Yeah.
Yeah, 5. It's the lowest one.
What would you do? Would you go under?
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't like going under 5s.
Me either.
Because I think much of the NFL is kind of crunched to the middle, but as Miles said, it does look pretty bad.
I'm taking that under. Give me that under.
There you go. We're going to
put my money where my mouth is. Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
Well, let's talk about a game coming up. We talked about the Cowboys and the Eagles a lot. I want to go to the Friday game. We got the Chiefs and the Chargers. What do you expect in this one, and what are the Chargers have to do to take down the Chiefs here, which it's been a problem in that division?
Certainly has. I mean, I still expect the Chiefs to win the AFC West. One of the interesting things about the Chiefs is that, you know, they won so many games last year kind of by the skin of their teeth. And I think that the Chiefs could be a better team this year and have a worse record, if that makes sense. Because just, you're not going to win that many games. You know, go 15-1 in the first, you know, 16 games of the season and then be able to rest everybody in week 18. I don't know that that's going to happen. But I do think their offense should be better for a couple of reasons. A, they have my cousin, who's not actually my cousin, Josh Simmons, playing left tackle there now. out of Ohio State. And that, I mean, he came along so quickly in his rehab from a season-ending knee injury in his last year at Ohio State. They rave about this kid in Kansas City. We'll see what he does. He has a formidable pass rush of the Chargers on Friday night, but I think that alone makes them a significantly better offense, because when you have a revolving door at left tackle as they did last year, and you have to move over your all-pro guard to play left tackle, it's just not fluid offensively. The other thing that they have is some healthy receivers. You know, we talked about Rice, and he's not going to be available for the first six games, but you do have Hollywood Brown. You do have Xavier Worthy going into his second year. You do have a more svelte, as they say, Travis Kelce, who is also, I guess, a little bit more motivated because he's now engaged to one of the biggest music stars in the entire universe. So I think from that angle of it, they should be better offensively. Defensively, who knows? I mean, it's volatile. You can take a step forward, take a step back, but they still have Steve Spagnuolo. So I expect them to be good this year, and I think that they will win on Friday night for a few reasons. Andy Reid, one of the best there is when you have extra time, and they obviously have the whole offseason. You know, there haven't been too many changes with the Chargers personnel, but we know that they're going to be tough. They're going to be hard-nosed. They're going to have to run the football. We'll see how healthy Najee Harris is. I mean, he says he's all right. He's been on the field in practice after suffering that eye injury over the 4th of July with apparent fireworks incident. He didn't talk about it. We'll see what happens. So I think the Chiefs will win Friday night. I don't know if they'll cover. I think that the line was, what, like 5? I think it's the last I saw. I don't know if they'll cover because they could still make it close. But they're going to be good this year. And I think they will continue to open the season well. It's 3.
Yeah, Alex, the latest line is 3.
Wow, yeah.
There you go.
Let me see if
see if there's any update on that one. But yeah, Chargers, Chiefs coming up on Friday. Ooh, look at this. Pro Football Talk. The staff has made their 2025 NFL predictions.
Oh, we sure have.
Miles Simmons, first of all, explain to me, no one else can challenge the Texans in that division?
No.
Wow, that was blunt. All right.
No. The Colts,
really?
Please.
The Jags and the Colts?
Please. I don't believe in Trevor Lawrence. I don't know if Liam Cohen, we'll see what he can do, but I don't believe in that. I mean, one of the interesting things about the head coaching cycle is that there were seven teams with coaching vacancies. Six of them have former head coaches as coordinators, and the only one that doesn't is Liam Cohen with the Jags. He's got Grant Yudinski, who's in his 20s still, which is just ridiculous to me because I am almost 33 years old. Like, come on now. And, like, yeah, we got to have coordinators that are at least my age, right? I think that that's a fair request of the entire NFL. And then they have another first-time defensive coordinator. And so that makes me a little bit nervous because, like, where is the experience on the staff? And also, I know James Gladstone personally because I work with him at the Rams. I really like James Gladstone. But, again, when you are inexperienced in some of these positions, that could come with growing pains. So, yeah. And then, you know, Titans, I don't believe in Brian Callahan. I'm really interested to see what Cam Ward can do this week. And then who else is in that division? There's one more. Did I say the Colts already? Yeah, Danny J, no thanks. So, yeah, it's Texans by default.
You have the Broncos as a wild card, but not the Chargers.
I do not. I also have the Raiders as a wild card in the 7th seed, because I think Pete Carroll is a great coach. And, you know, I think that division is going to be very, very tough, which is part of why I don't have the Chiefs as the number one overall seed in the AFC, because, look, they're going to cannibalize each other in some way. But I think that the Raiders can do well in that division, especially because, look, I don't know what the Chargers really have offensively other than a very arm-talented Justin Herbert. And at this point in 2025, I don't believe as much in the scheme of a Greg Roman as I used to. The Chargers last year were 28th in passing attempts. If Justin Herbert, you should be at least in the top 15, if not top 10. So it's just the way they run that offense, I think, is not necessarily going to be the best for them in 2025 when you also have a Pete Carroll who basically wins 9-10 games each year. I don't know if, I mean, I guess I am predicting that they will do that if they get the 7th wild card. But, you know, I see that as being better than what the Chargers are doing right now.
Miles Simmons from Pro Football Talk. Of course, you can see so much of his work around the Peacock community. Love Below Deck. Also, apparently, Peacock, the official unofficial home of Rutgers football, which I'm interested in. In the NFC, you have the Lions, the Packers, and the Vikes making the playoffs.
Yeah, not the Bears. I mean, I think that the NFC North is still going to be probably the best division in football this year. It was last year. I guess you could make the argument with the AFC West, but I would say the NFC North. I mean, you had two 15-win teams. You know, like that division was excellent. I think what's going to be interesting to see is how J.J. McCarthy comes along. He's got the best head coach probably that he could have for this situation, to Kevin O'Connell. He has a year of experience in that building. I think it's fair to have like pretty decent expectations for him, even as there are probably going to be growing pains because it's a quarterback making his first few starts in the National Football League over the course of the first, you know, 4 or 5 games. But he also has the benefit of having the league's best receiver, for my money, in Justin Jefferson. He has one of the better tight ends in TJ Hockenson. Once Jordan Addison comes back, he's got one of the better second receivers in the league. Adam Thielen is back in the building, a great veteran presence. So there's a lot there for J.J. McCarthy. And I think him not having a first-year head coach, and then with the Bears and Ben Johnson being a first-year head coach, and Caleb Williams kind of needing to delete some bad habits, I feel like the Vikings have a better shot at making it with the young QB than the Bears do.
All right, I just have one question for you on here. And I also had the Commanders in my playoff picture, but I had the Eagles as well. No Eagles for you, and you have the Commanders winning the East.
Did I not put the Eagles in there? Oh, that might have been an oversight.
Oops. Oh, no. What do you do? Can you edit? Take down that story, please. Lions, Rams, Commanders, Bucks, yeah. Packers, Vikings, Niners, no Eagles, defending champ, out. I love it. Got to stick with it. Got to come up with a strong take.
I got to stick with it. Well, here's the thing. I mean, the Commanders are going to win the division because nobody wins the division 2 years in a row in the NFC East. So I'm good with that. And I do think the 49ers are going to have a bounce back season. So, yeah, Eagles, they're not going to make it. They're not. I stick by it. Yeah, that's my math.
I like your confidence.
What can I say, Steve? I don't know. There's only seven teams that can make it.
No, you know how serious people take this. You better come up with a real full-throated defense of this take on the Eagles.
I know. I need to go back and look at what I did last year in my 2024 season predictions. I can't remember.
Social media is coming for you.
I know that I had the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Yeah, I said Chiefs over Packers last year. It was my pick for Super Bowl LAX. I got one of them right. So as long as the Chiefs keep, you know, going to the AFC Championship game every year, which they have since 2018, might as well keep picking them.
Miles, you are the man. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys.
There is Miles Simmons. No Eagles.
No Eagles.
Is that bad when you realize on a radio show you're like, oh, I didn't pick the Eagles to go to the playoffs? It could happen.
No, it can definitely happen, but it is.
I don't think it's
going to
be the. I don't think it's going to be the Vikings outpacing them though, for a wild card. Preach.
I don't have the Vikings in mind.
Do you know people who are high on the Vikings?
I think it's a lot of sharps out there because their numbers keep moving at all the sports books.
Like J.J. McCarthy, apparently. People who consider themselves smart in football really believe he's going to walk in and be pretty solid.
There's a name for people like that.
Yes?
Fools.
Okay. So I was waiting for how vicious it was going to get.
I think it's more about the Brian Flores defense than anything.
Well, I understand the roster is very good, but obviously if they get below average quarterback play, I don't think they're going to go 500, and I don't think they're going to make or get a wild card spot. I don't believe if he comes out and is just so-so on Monday that they're even going to win the opening game.
My vision for them to be good is J.J. McCarthy looks a lot like Brock Purdy did when he was placed into the 49ers unexpectedly.
That's a hot take. And I'm here for it.
You know what I mean, though? Yeah. Where it was an ongoing discussion about whether he was a good quarterback or not, or whether he was just a system quarterback. And so I think for them to be good, I can see him playing in that role.
Don't forget, on Saturday mornings, Throw the Flag is back at Treasure Island, 9A to 11A. The Golden Circle, Gridiron Gurus, Cofield and Griffin, and a cavalcade of stars will be out there. Come watch the show and college football in the morning and throughout the day. Again, 9 a.m. start, early games at Treasure Island on the 55-plus TVs include Illinois and Duke, San Jose State, Texas, Iowa, Iowa State, Utah State, and Texas A&M will be there munching on some breakfast. Got a fruit blend, a granola parfait, chorizo con papas bowl, breakfast sandwich, tons of items, and of course the full menu is available early in the morning. But we'll be out there every single week, ESPN Las Vegas on the scene for Throw the Flag, the Golden Circle Gridiron Gurus, 9 to 11, 9 a.m. to 11, getting ready for the college football day and the Sunday in the National Football League at Treasure Island at the Golden Circle Sports Bar.
It's Cofield and Company, live from the Battle Born Broadcast Center on ESPN Las Vegas.
Cofield and Company live at Battle Born Injury Lawyers. Alex White, Cofield, 766-1400 is the number for advice. You got real legal issues, certainly call Matt and Justin and the team here at Battle Born Injury Lawyers. That is the call from anywhere in the state of Nevada, number 766-1400. You know, I'm starting to get good at this. For the longest time, I didn't do a lot of told you so's, and I didn't take advantage of I'm the only one in the country who said this. But screw it, I'm doing it. Because a couple of years ago, while we were in a dominant run of the seven biggest programs in the country, winning a lot of the national titles and making the final game or making the final four in college football, I said, wait, watch what's going to happen. Watch what the transfer portal is going to do. Watch what NIL is going to do. And it's going to take a little while, but we saw teams emerge from the shadows, schools emerge from the shadows and make the playoffs, like SMU.
Yep.
Like Arizona State. They give a power six team, as it is now, a chance. Boise State, Indiana. And what I said at the time was, now that you've made cheating, paying the players, legal and above board, there's going to be some places where you're like, wait, they have money? Yeah. There's communities around this country that have tremendous money to put into football and basketball programs, but they weren't one of the graced schools where they could escape NCAA penalties. So a lot of them were like, let's be careful. We can't do what USC even thing. We can't do what USC and LSU and Alabama and Georgia and even to a lower level like an Oklahoma State or recently Oregon the last 20 years. We can't do that because they'll come hard at us. But guess what? Now it's legal. And you've got all these pockets where you're like, wait a second. How did Duke football get the highest paid quarterback on the market? What? Indiana is good at football? Yeah, because they paid for it. And they did. They paid for it, and they're still paying for it, right? They got a good transfer quarterback a year ago who was in Rourke. It was great. Mendoza was a top five or seven candidate to get a lot of money. You know, you see places like Oklahoma, and that's a place with tradition, but they got to buy their way back, right? Right. They got to make up for some shortcomings. So what it's done is I think you're seeing a lot of schools that used to spend their money, never get called on the carpet or rarely get called on the carpet for cheating. And now they're like, wait a second. Now everyone's got money. Everyone can pay a quarterback. Our twos don't play. They're all leaving.
Yep.
Wait, UNLV is going to take Jake Pope from Alabama and Georgia? Yeah, well, UNLV can throw him a little money and pretty much guaranteed playing time. So, yeah, your depth, whether he was a three or a two, maybe he's going to play his junior, senior year. Nope. He's gone. The whining has begun, and it is incredible. You guys need to shut the hell up. First is Mike Gundy. Now, he always has the ability to put his foot in his mouth, right? I'm 40! He's 58 now. And the whining and complaining and weird stuff is still happening. Mike Gundy, the other day, as they get ready for which is a big budget school. Mike Gundy says, I think Oregon spent close to $40 million last year alone on their roster. So that was just 1 year. I might be off a few million. He said, Oregon is paying a lot of money for their team. From a non-conference standpoint, there's coaches saying they should play teams with similar budgets. Then all of them need to step up and say that publicly. Don't be pansies and whisper behind the scenes. But for Mike Gundy to say this, Oklahoma State was one of the most well-funded programs in the country. Everyone knew who their benefactor was. It was a guy named T. Boone Pickens. T. Boone Pickens spent tens of millions of dollars on Mike Gundy's program. He's dead. Rest in peace. And they had a couple good years after he died in 2019, and now they don't have the unbelievable budget. But here's the thing. I don't think the Oklahoma State community is cash poor. It's resistant to giving Mike Gundy money. And this has happened before. I'll give you a good example. About 6 years ago, whenever the end of the road was coming, 4 years ago, whatever it was, Jim Boeheim is like, that Miami Hurricane basketball program, they're spending money, millions and millions of dollars. What he was saying was, I'm not getting money anymore. I can't compete like I used to. When I cheated, and by the way, he was dinged twice for cheating by the NCAA. I mean, that was like the unmitigated gall of the Syracuse coach to be like, this money stuff's out of control. Like, bruh, the rosters you put together?
Right.
You're getting players from LA to go to freaking crappy Syracuse in upstate New York? That was paid for! He's a good coach. But he wasn't getting money anymore because at some point, money people were like, how much am I going to give you for 16 wins, for 20 wins, for first year or first round exits in the NCAA tournament? It's happening to Mike Gundy. How dare he piss and moan about Oregon? I'll give you the worst one. And I want to get to Oregon-Oklahoma State here in a second. I'll give you a worse one. A.J. McCarron, who frankly is speaking out of turn here, former quarterback at Alabama. He's now in broadcasting. He said about Alabama football, you know, part of the decline over the last year or so, well, you know, a thing that hurts Alabama right now is you're looking at these other teams that have $40, $50 million in NIL. And Alabama, I know this for a fact. Talking to multiple people inside the program, Alabama's got less than $20 million in their NIL for football. In their NIL for football. First of all, only $20 million to put together a roster?
Right.
I mean, that's an indictment on Kalen DeBoer and the personnel people there. You got $20 million. You're still in the top 15 of all programs in the country. Now Alabama is looking around going, we're too poor? Come on, guys.
Yeah.
And in the case of A.J. McCarron, he's not a coach. But for coaches to do this, I'm so sick and tired of coaches who make $5 million, $8 million, $12 million. By the way, Gundy had his salary cut. And I think some of his salary actually does go to NIL. He had his salary cut. They went to him and they're like, listen, this ain't working, man.
Well,
program needs money. Now, it doesn't surprise me because college football overlords are whiny. But I think it's hilarious that Alabama, and it is something I predicted, Alabama could be looking at BYU going, we can't keep up with BYU.
Yeah.
Cofield tried to tell you. I tried to tell the fans. I tried to tell all these people who are not nuanced around college football that this gravy train ain't going to last forever for these podunk places in Tuscaloosa and Athens and Starkville and freaking Oxford. And, I mean, how about the other one? Here's a great one. Griffin, you remember this? I flipped out on this one. Paul Feinbaum, who is the SEC mouthpiece, mad that SMU is now talking trash because SMU bought itself to the table. SMU has so much friggin' money that they told the ACC, we just want in. We don't want any rev share on the TV deal for years.
Yep.
The Methodists have a ton of money. So they bought their way to the table. Now, believe me, you got to spend on the right people. You got to layer your roster the right way. It's not all money. But I love that the have-beens are now looking around and are like, wow, there's a lot of people around us and above us. What happened? Yeah, you can't just spend to win.
Well, it was just 2 short years ago that Oklahoma State had 10 wins that when Texas was still in that conference. 2 years ago, and then they fell all the way to 3-9. And I think the biggest problem for Mike Gundy is he had like three or four quarterbacks. He could not make a decision, and one of them was his son for the last couple of years. So
Alex,
his roster.
We heard he doesn't know the players' names.
Oh, my gosh.
At times, he can't name the players. You want to talk about being an out-of-touch CEO? Now, if I'm a booster and I'm throwing a couple mil a year or more at Oklahoma State football, I'm like, listen, if he doesn't care enough to know his roster, then I don't care enough to give him money.
100%.
And that's what's happening here. But the Alabama thing, I mean, A.J. McCarron, cut it out.
Yeah.
This is Jackassville in terms of takes at this point. Now, the question is, Oregon, Oklahoma State, 28.5. Lanning actually, I think, was pretty nice in not annihilating Mike Gundy. And I think there's a lot of people around college football who look at Mike Gundy and they're like, let's tear him apart. Lanning was pretty classy. Will he be classy on the field on Saturday?
I don't like to lay big numbers like that, but I would only be laying that number. I just think it's a mess there for the Cowboys. And now their starting quarterback again coming into this season is out, and Oregon looked pretty good, so I think they can name the score in this one.
Just because you have a budget and just because you've won in the past doesn't mean that you have the same zeal for recruiting. It's a different sort of recruiting game now, too. You're dealing with agents.
Right.
You know, and my guess is Gundy dealing with players. You know, you're in a dominant position. Now they have agents. These are adults talking to you. You think he has any patience for that? He's probably going to need – well, I think they're going to move on from him if he has another bad season. He's probably going to need to take a couple of years off.
Yeah.
Get a little perspective. And he better go – if he wants another job, he better go to a program where they love him. And they're promising him a ton of NIL, because without it, I don't think he can win. But, I mean, just the balls on the freaking Oklahoma State coach in the Big 12 with all that money in the past saying, I can't compete anymore. Alabama, a former player, saying, I can't compete anymore. Get out of here.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Alex White, Cofield. Thanks to Battle Born Injury Lawyers for housing the show today. 766-1400 is the number. Mississippi State and Arizona State. Justin Watkins were in his building. He was making picks with us in the middle of the show. You guys both had Mississippi State plus the points. Were you swayed by the threat of the Cowbells?
I mean, I was already going back and forth on this and double-checking my number, 5. Then I think that there is some value there. And I even said I usually like to have a 2.5-point difference. So 7 would have been like a definite.
Yeah.
But a little bit with the Cowbells because, right, it is – that's what college football is. I mean,
okay, it's loud and it's annoying. Griffin, are you buying this?
What? With these cowbells, them trying to use them in practice is going to do anything? No, I agree with every single person who commented on the social media post that said, hey, get about thousands more of those bells and then pump in even more on the speakers, and then you can emulate it. But even if you can or you can't, you're not going to be able to be prepared to be in that environment until you're actually in it.
How loud will the cowbells be if they're down 17-0 in the first quarter?
Oh, they're all going to break. They're going to snap off if they're up that much.
No, I mean Mississippi State falls behind early.
Ooh.
Which that could quiet the crowd real quickly. So I have not been in Starkville. I never want to go. I have not been to a game. So maybe it is unbelievably loud and intimidating, but you also have to have players. I'm not saying that I actually would probably stay on the side of Mississippi State plus 6.5. Go in the bag.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
The news out today, and it's not official, but Scott Hansen talking about commercials being on Red Zone. I feel like in Vegas, this is a nothing. Do you care? Do you watch Red Zone?
Sometimes I do watch Red Zone.
You do?
Yeah.
Commercials would bother you?
I don't know.
I mean, Miles Simmons did make a fair point. Like, we're paying.
Right.
But this happens all the time. We pay for stuff and they're like, commercial free. And then all of a sudden there's commercials. Like, well, I was paying for commercial free.
Right.
Now I'm getting freaking double taxed. Not that it costs you anything for the commercials, but it's a little obnoxious.
It does feel like that, yeah.
It's a little obnoxious. Unless maybe it's Hanson's fault. Maybe he said, I don't want to be on the whole time. I need a break every once in a while.
Right.
It's his fault.
He could even use the restroom.
Gotta give
he's being pitched as a victim.
Got to give that guy some bathroom breaks, man. Red zone, that's a long, long shift.
That is kind of true. I was actually referencing satellite radio, and I did it for a long time. The hours are very long. Every once in a while, you do need a break just to go to the bathroom. So good for Scott Hansen. We all pay for it a little bit.